There are people who devote their entire lives to the study of economics. So how come these experts didn't see this crisis coming? Why didn't they try to prevent it? Drake Bennett has been looking into these questions for the Boston Globe, and he joins us now. And Drake, let's start in the here and now. As you write, economics is an incredibly complicated field, and most of us don't get it, but we trust that the professionals do understand it. So how are they feeling about the fact that they kind of failed to see how the housing crisis could cause such widespread collapse?
I think for a field that is as full of very smart and very competent people as the field of economics is, they're feeling remarkably sheepish. There is a sense, especially among top macroeconomists at blue chip programs like Harvard and MIT and the University of Chicago, that they really missed this, and that while there were multiple economists who saw a housing bubble, almost no one among mainstream economists saw something this big and protracted.
And why weren't they able, I mean, of course, hindsight is 20/20, but why weren't they able to see some of this coming?
Well, in economics, as in many other social sciences, the most prestigious research to do if you are a sort of hotshot, up-and-coming academic is not necessarily the research that's the most relevant to our everyday lives. So it is rather abstract topics using rather simplified models of human behavior to give you clean, nice results.
You write, for example, that they were using some of these economic theories and applying it to speed dating, which seems maybe a little less relevant than what we're looking at now.
For a lot of young economists, looking at the example of Stephen Levitt in particular, of Freakonomics fame, the sort of hot thing to do in the field was to take the tools of economics and apply them to, say, speed dating or sumo wrestling. Fascinating, but not traditional economic topics.
One of the big assumptions in the field of economics is that human beings act rationally. Is that something that now might be reconsidered in the field?
Yes, definitely. Over the past several years, something called the field of behavioral economics has been gaining support. It used to be considered sort of a quirky field. Basically, what behavioral economics is it's trying to take sort of methods and insights of psychology and apply them to economics to at least temper this idea of the sort of rational economic man. And I think when you see these kind of panics, that only lends credence to this idea.
Well, now there is plenty of situations to study and look at, and maybe this is an exciting time for economists. John Maynard Keynes came out of the Great Depression as a visionary. What do you see as the new hot field of study based on what's happening now?
Well, I do think trying to explain what happened to lead up to this crisis and trying to figure out how to get out of it is only going to drive more people into trying to look at the psychology of economic behavior. I think also just fields like banking regulation, which have not been considered very sexy for a long time, are going to draw a lot more new, young, smart academics.
And what about market bubbles?
Yes, that's also something. Interestingly enough, Ben Bernanke, when he was running the economics department at Princeton, was one of the first people to kind of realize that this is something that hasn't been really understood by economists, and so had started hiring a few smart young economists there who look at bubbles. And I think for a long time, economists weren't even sure that bubbles exist. Now I think there's a growing consensus that they do and a growing understanding that we need to actually understand what creates them and how to deflate them uncatastrophically.
Drake Bennett is a staff writer for the Boston Globe. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.